This week, I want to talk to you about evidently the situation, so worrying situation that is being given around the world. Of, as all of you know, we're facing a worldwide crisis. And although here in our country, the measures that the government is taking are just starting to be a little bit more serious, the reality is that we have to be conscious that things will get worse before they get better. This virus, COVID-19, is definitely the challenge of our generation. These are the things that will be remembered in the future for how our generation faced this great challenge. And one of the things that complicates the situation we're living is the amount of information that is circulating and that is usually contradictory and creates more confusion. I am convinced that this is a situation that we need to take very seriously. As I told you, if you had the chance to watch the video that we sent you to let you know that we were going to do our services in a virtual manner, Karina and I had the opportunity to live firsthand and to be eyewitnesses of what happens in a place where at the beginning things were not taken seriously. People continued living in a normal manner, and suddenly when it started to be multiplied exponentially, the virus, people started to take it seriously and to be more careful. What I want to do today is evidently not to try to fill up your heart with anxiety and fear. What I am mostly worried about is the state of your heart while we're going through this series. But I want to accomplish two things with what we're going to study today. First of all, we need to understand why these things happen. These things that shake us up all of a sudden. And the second is that we may be prepared to face this one and any other crisis, because the way to face it is exactly the same one. And you will realize why I call this message Moments of Definition. Let us place ourselves in the hands of the Lord and let us study His word to see what He tells us about these things. Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your love. We thank You, Lord, because we know that focused on You and taken by Your hand, our heart fills up with peace and tranquility, and we can face these things in a more effectively. I ask You, Lord, that You help us to see all these through Your eyes, through what Your word teaches us about these things, so that they may really fulfill the purpose for which they happen. Because according to Your word, everything happens for something that You're trying to accomplish. So guide us, take us by the hand, give us light and tranquility and peace to be able to see these things the way You see them. I ask You for this, Lord, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It seems that the word crisis is the fashion word. We are listening to it all around. What we're experiencing is a health crisis. It is affecting the health of many people, but that crisis is affecting the economy worldwide. When that is affected, then the work of millions of people around the world is at risk. That stresses the families. It is definitely a crisis. It is interesting because the word crisis has a negative connotation. We think of problems when we think about crisis, but I believe and I'm convinced that they affect us more because we don't understand what they mean. The modern definition of the word crisis is a time in a sequence of events where the tendency of all the future events will be determined. If you analyze that definition, it seems like the circumstances will determine the future. But that is not true. That is totally false. The word crisis in Greek is spelled with K. Its meaning is very interesting. It comes from the verb decision. That is, a crisis is a moment of decision. It's a moment where you face certain circumstances that will push you to make the decision of how to continue, go on your way. That's why we can take it as a moment of definition where you're going to define how you're going to face and follow the way you're gonna walk on. That is where I should decide how I will face this problem. I am convinced that if we see every crisis that we see for what it really is, a moment in which I must make important decisions, it's gonna be a lot easier and more effective the way we face them. So I want to make some considerations about what is a crisis in times of crisis is in your program. If we analyze the crisis, we will see that they are inevitable. They will happen all the time. They are impartial. They will happen to everybody, all kinds of people, but they will always have a purpose. But we have to understand them. The first thing we have to understand about crisis is that in times of crisis, number one, in your program, our world is shaken by external causes. Our world, it might be your world. Some crises affect just one person or a small group of people. Sometimes it's the whole world, like in this case, it's affecting all of us. And when everything absolutely changes and makes us face different challenges, but why? By whom are things being shaken? The crisis shake up our world, but who is shaking this? Our passage for this study will be Hebrews 12 from 26 to 29. But first, let's read 26 and 27. At that time, his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, once more, I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. The words once more indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. This verse is a promise of God. He says, I am going to shake the movable, which means the created. What is the created? Everything we see around, the people, the companies, our relationships, the richness, our positions, everything that we see around us is the movable. I will shake the movable to remove the immovable, which is God. He's talking about the movable things, but there is something that is immovable. So who is moving all this? It's God. Why is he doing it? The answer is God reveals the immovable, shaking the movable. That is, God is in the need of shaking things, movable things, so that we may pay attention to the immovable things. And you know what is a pity? That for some of us, it is the only way that God has to call our attention. When those things that seem to be secure, solid, permanent, all of a sudden, they crumble down from our hands, and then they create fear. And for us, as followers of Christ, that should not happen. So in number two, we should not be surprised by the jolts. These things should not surprise us, the Christians. However, they surprise us every time they happen, especially the ones of this size. They surprise us, and especially the ones that are truly painful, the ones that hit us closer. I think the closest one is when we lose somebody that we love. If this crisis affects the life of somebody you love, there's something that about losing a dear one that returns us to the floor and makes us look at things that are really important. And when I am talking about, I am not suggesting that these things should not hurt you. I mean that these moments are so painful that they redefine the way we face life. And as believers, what they should cause is to push us to look for the immovable kingdom. As a parenthesis to this, I think we should live conscious that we are all mortals, that people that is around you, they will not always be there. If we were conscious of that, we would have better relationships, we would enjoy each other more. I remember an advice that Zig Ziglar gave us in a conference. He said that this was something he did regularly. He would sit down close his eyes and try to imagine how his life would be at that time if he lost his wife or one of his children, one of his dearest people. And obviously those things touched him very deeply and caused him very much sadness. But he went out of that exercise trying to find them, kiss them. And maybe they had a discussion or misunderstanding. He discovers of how trivial it was. And those things made his life be in a right perspective. That's why the Bible says that we should be conscious that we have all our days counted, the same as everybody else. So to lose somebody that we love is something that shakes us up very strongly. But you know which other one? The death of ideas in which we have our life invented. Without noticing it, we inherit ideas that are based on things of this world from our parents. We inherit them from our parents and then to our children. We have jobs, we have money, we have some comforts, and all of a sudden they are at risk, they shake us up because we felt secure in those. God is trying to teach us something. He's trying to teach us that we have to go to Him, but not only in times of crisis, but in all times. Because if you learn to come to Him in all time, at all times, that prepares you for crisis. When the time they come, you are prepared for them. If you're a person that are holding very strongly to God, these shake-ups don't take you by surprise for two reasons. Letter A, because the Word of God promises them. The crisis that we're going to face, God tells us that they will happen. And secondly, just review the history. How many times we've had these worldwide crises. In Haggai 2, verses 6 and 7, he says, "This is what the Lord Almighty says. In a little while, I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. I will shake all nations." God in the Old Testament consistently was saying, "I will do things that will shake up the whole world." Jesus in the New Testament, in John, he says, "In this world, you will face afflictions." So we shouldn't be surprised, because the Old and the New Testament tells us that they will happen. And this is a part that many people don't understand. Letter B, the nature of God demands it. These shakings, the nature of God demands them. In Hebrews 2, he says, "Once more I will make heavens and earth to shake." And Hebrews 12:29 says why? "For our God is a consuming fire." I will shake heavens and earth because the nature of God is to be a consuming fire. This is a characteristic of the character of God, that people want to close their eyes towards it. They want to focus only in the love of God. And we don't want to see that He is also a consuming fire. And some people says, no, it's just love. Or no, it's just fire. No, in fact, it's the two of them. And if you understand it correctly, you will see that both are part of the same thing. They complement each other. Part of His loving being is to be a consuming fire. When He's consuming fire, it's part of the love of God. I am convinced that God is doing something through what is happening right now with this crisis worldwide. When you analyze the great revivals, spiritual revivals in the history of the world, they always happen in the middle of situations like this one. So if you're wondering, why is God happening these things to happen? Evidently, what He wants to accomplish is that you learn to trust in Him and to come to Him. But there's something very interesting about the crisis. Two persons can face this exactly the same crisis, the same problem, but to obtain diametrically different, totally opposed. Some people loses his job, and that makes him to plan a new way, a new work, change, move, to another place, and another one gets depressed. He stays just at home, loses his health, and then life changes. Everything is dark. So another one says, well, with what I'm left of health, I will look for another way to do things. But each one gets different results. So what defines our future is not what we face, but how we face it. One crisis either edifies you or destroys you, strengthens you or weakens you, depending on the way you face it. So the question we should make ourselves is how we should respond to the shakeups of life. Whether these shakings are something that happens to you personally, or that it affects only you or people very close to you, or a group shakeup, or to the church, or to the city, or the country, or like in this case, the world, the whole world. We have two responsibilities of how to face these things. One is towards the others, and the other one towards ourselves. And I will start for the others. For everyone else, we should be a light. Our responsibility as Christians in the midst of this crisis is to be a light. A lot of the fear that is generated in the uncertainty of this kind of crisis comes from people that is carrying a bucket of gas and another one a bucket of water. And when they see the fire, they throw the gas and it is worse. And you start listening to rumors and more uncertainty. When we were in our trip, we could do it thanks to a very dear friend that lives in Europe that invited us. If not, we could not have been there. But we were in Europe in a place in Spain, and we had to travel to Barcelona to come back to Cancun. And the last night we were there, Karina and I went for dinner to a restaurant, and the waiter came to us, and he asked us, where are you from? From Mexico. Oh, yeah. When are you leaving? Tomorrow. We're flying to Barcelona. Oh, you can't. Barcelona is closed down. Nobody can enter Barcelona. And it wasn't true. No, yeah. We're going to go to Barcelona. We talked to the airlines, and they told us there was no problem. At what time you called? Oh, at 5 they closed it. He was just making up the data. And then he told us, and where are you going from Barcelona to Miami? Oh, you won't be able to go. All flights to US are canceled, but it wasn't true then yet. It was just people that, I don't know for what reason, they like to throw gas to the fire and create more fear to people. And you know what's the problem? That people that is fearful does a lot of bad, stupid things. You know, what are the articles that increase their sales in the US? People would think water, toilet paper. For a strange reason, people is buying like crazy. But you know what they're selling a lot in the USA? Weapons, ammunitions. The sales of weapons have raised, I don't know what they're expecting, the attacks of the zombies or what, because they're armed up. As in, I don't know what would happen when we inject more fear to people, they make more stupid things. So the best thing we can do is to demonstrate tranquility, knowing that our security is not on things on this earth. But if you're thinking, God will provide me of anything, God will crush you there. But your security should be for the things that will happen ahead, not what will happen here right now. When you remember that everything is in God's hands and you have to be prepared to explain the reasons of your tranquility to other people, that is what Peter tells us in his first letter. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that is in you. We have to be prepared to tell the people, explain the people why we have this tranquility. You would be surprised to see how many people is needing to receive hope. The people around us in our trip had a psychosis. They were all nervous, fearful. And when they asked us, we answered, oh, no, we're fine. We're tranquil. Aren't you fearful? Well, God will do whatever he will do. And you don't know how their faces changed when we told them, God is in control and he will do whatever he will do, and we trust in him. And their faces changed and they got tranquilized. They see people tranquilized with hope, and it tranquilizes them. That's why Peter says, be always prepared to give an answer to that hope. But remember what he said before? Revere in your heart Christ as Lord. That is the premise. You have to honor Christ, and that will give you the tranquility that will allow you to be light to other persons. But first, you have to be prepared yourself, which take us to point number two. For yourself, what is your responsibility among this crisis? You should focus on the immovable. Sadly, we are used to trust the things that we see, that we touch. And the sad part of that is that practically all things that you can see are temporary. Almost all of them. There are very little that are not. But almost everything on which we support ourselves and or strengthen ourselves is temporary. But there's something that the Bible tells us that will never be movable. The continuation of this passage, Hebrews 12:28. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful. Did you listen to that? What the author of Hebrews tells us is that when you invite Christ to live in your heart, when you put your faith in him, you will receive, it will come to you, a kingdom that cannot be shaken. You will have access at that time and from then on to an immovable kingdom. The thing is that sometimes even being Christians, we don't put our trust in that kingdom. We're still grabbing the world and the things that surround us. The virus that we are facing causes worries, and the governments of some places are worried about it. And yeah, we need to be praying for our church, for our families, but also for our governors. But you have to remember this. Doesn't matter who are the governors around the world. The one that is sitting at the throne is God. He's the one that has the control, everything under control. And he's our father. Do you remember when you were a kid to be walking on the street by the hand of your father? I remember how if I was by the hand of my father, I could be distracted. And I was not afraid of anything because I was walking by his hand. And that is exactly that image that the Bible is trying to transmit to us. If you are by the hand of God, what do you have to fear? Economic problems? Difficult situations? What? The circumstances are sometimes difficult, sometimes easy, sometimes not. But what never changes is the love of God. Isaiah words in verse 54:10, though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion of you. He will not change. He's taking you by the hand. When I taught them to walk, they may tumble down or fall down, but I took them by the hand and got them up. But he loves us so much more, and he doesn't let us fall down. And I was analyzing this situation a lot, and it is difficult to understand how it could happen, what happened, and how come it got out of control. And maybe you have the same confusion. But if at any time you have the question of how can God allow whatever, you can end that with whatever. You have to remember, God is always in control. And everything that happens, he uses it for his plan. And I believe that the most powerful example of that concept is the crucifixion of Jesus. Take your mind to the past at that moment, in that distorted act of democracy. Pontius Pilate asks the people, what do you want me to do with him? And people start crying, crucify him. Can you imagine what happened through the heads of the disciples? The moment the crucifixion started to be carried out, They were expecting him to take the power and come angels and defend him. But they are looking at things happening in slow motion, and they see that it won't change, that he will be crucified. But you know what is surprising? That moment did not surprise God. At any time, it took him by surprise, and at no moment that called, he called that moment something good. We have to be conscious about the fact that this is happening. God is using it, yes. He considers it good? No. It's the same as he didn't consider a good thing, the crucifixion. Was it malevolent, the crucifixion? Was it predestined? Yes. Was it done by malevolent people? Yes. Yes, totally. Now think about this. Did he redeem that act? For that blood could have the power to save even those who crucified him? Definitely. Now, fast forward the movie until today. Is God sovereign? Is he still sovereign? Is he still using everything for his plans? Is he with us? Is he accompanying us at all moments? Totally. And when you focus on him, what happens to your heart is with what this passage finishes, Hebrews 12:28. Let us be thankful and so worship acceptably with reverence and awe. When you consider that God is always with you and whatever happens, he uses it for our own good, your heart cannot do anything else but be full of joy and light and wanting to worship him. It is possible that in the next weeks this situation will get worse, and then the government will ask us to get isolated, to be auto quarantined, and many people is looking at that with lots of fear. Oh, but so many days locked down and my children will go crazy. Try to look at it in a positive manner. Go back 40 years and take advantage of that time you're gonna spend with your family. One of the most beautiful moments is when my mom was reading me books. Sit down and remember that books are something good. It's not good only to be watching videos, play table games. I remember the amount of histories that my parents and my grandmother told us. I remember one get together where our grandmother told us all the family, all the genealogic tree of how things happened. And now we don't do those things. We're living in a world in such a hurry that we cannot connect each other personally. But so we're going to be in quarantine. Take advantage of the time. Love your family. Do activities that normally you wouldn't do. I remember when the Hurricane Wilma destroyed all of the peninsula of Yucatan, the amount of things that we did as family that for decades we were not doing. So definitely we have to thank God for the blessings that we have and not to focus on the complications that are around us. I invite you to thank God, to truly thank him for the life, because he saved you, because you know he's present. Will it be complicated? Yeah, surely. The situation is very uncertain. But you have to remember, we're not alone. God is here with us. And he's ready to take you by the hand. If you let him, if you allow him, he will take you by the hand through this crisis and any other crisis. Let us thank God. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for the amount of blessings that you gave us. We thank you because you have provided for us a beautiful church, a family in Christ that is there to love us each other, to help each other, to ensure that we don't leave anybody behind. We thank you, Lord, because you are good. Your mercy is eternal. We thank you, Lord, because we know that we can trust in you. And we thank you above all things because we know that we are with you in the eternal life. And whatever it happens in this world, whatever it changes, whatever is destroyed around us, that promise is still firm, and we will all be in eternity with you. Fill us up with light of yourself. Help us to learn things of this crisis, to transform ourselves in this crisis, to learn to see what is here instead of what it's not. We thank you, Lord, in the powerful name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Look, before we say goodbye, I want to let you know some things as a recommendation for this time that will be coming. The Bible tells us that we should love our neighbor. And honestly, one of the best ways to love our neighbor is to stay at home. I know that schools are closed and some jobs, and we're going to feel like in vacations. But believe me, it's not a time for vacationing or to relate with other people as much as we can. Help the people you can help. If there's people around you in need, strengthen your hand, especially people over 70 years old. We sent some messages. I don't know if they were clearly understood, but if you know people that is older than 70 years, they're very vulnerable to this virus. They are the group that is more vulnerable. So if they need help to buy food or medicines, help them. Help that people. If you know people that is totally alone, be a support. If you are a person that is older than 70 years and you have nobody else to help you, contact us and we will help you. Curiously, the statistics tells us that 40% of the beds in hospitals because of these viruses are because of people between 25 and 50 or 40, but not because they are the most vulnerable, but because they don't take care of themselves, because they feel invincible, and they end up using beds that will be taken from older people that could lose their lives because of these things. So socializing at this time is not right. But always remember, we are in the hands of God. He's in control. He asks us to be wise and careful. But he warns us also that this will happen, or this will pass by. We love you. And we expect that you connect with us again next week. Very dearly, a very big hug from Community of Faith. We would love to give it to you personally, but consider yourselves hugged by all of us. We love you. Goodbye.